So elections are done.
Yes.
It's for a little while. They did a great analysis, like part by part, on the live stream. So if you missed that, they aired the audio yesterday. But we're not experts or nerds like that, right?
Well, I'm not an expert.
You call me a nerd.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha. I gotcha. But we are feel like blue dots in a red state, especially at these points in time.
Well, you know, there are dozens of us. Dozens!
So you just returned from Portland.
I did.
Right? That's why you weren't actually on the live stream.
Correct.
And what time did you actually get in?
Well, you mean what time was I supposed to get in, or after the 7 changes in my flight that brought me back in around the same time I was supposed to get in anyway?
Right, right.
Was it about 11:30?
11:30.
So? Then I had to wait for my bag because I was smart and checked it. If I would have lost it, or if they would have lost it, I would have been like, that was the stupidest decision I ever made. But I checked it, got it back. So I probably got back home around, I almost hit a deer, four of them actually.
Yeah.
So about 12:05.
Yeah.
12:06, I think, is what my GPS said.
We talked a lot about deer during the stream.
Did you?
Yeah, it was just one of those things. Yeah, because you haven't had a chance. But the thing is that it's the heartland, right? It's that season. It's that season.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's deer season. So excited. Yeah, the deer just kind of stared at me like, come at me, bro. And I didn't. I just stopped in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Or she, I don't want to assume. I don't know. I think it was a she. There were no antlers, I think. I don't know. Wasn't paying attention to that.
So what did you do out there?
It was very wet and cold.
Okay.
Obviously, it's November. But I definitely drank a little too much.
Oh, dear.
On my first night.
A lot of celebration.
Not smart. Especially when I don't drink that much anyway.
Right.
And then I decided, because Missouri does not have as many vegan options, to just shovel as much vegan food into my mouth as possible. But it wasn't even like, I mean, I'm a very specific eater. Like in the mornings, I'll have oatmeal with agave. And that's it. I mean, that's it's every single morning.
Right.
And for lunch, it's either vegetables that I make, or it's steamed broccoli and like a vegan chicken patty or a vegan burger or some kind of protein. And then only during dinner will I switch it up. But in Portland, I'm like, oh my gosh, my flight was canceled. So I had a day less than I was supposed to. And I was like, I have to make up all my time. So the first place I ate at was literally a place called Vegan Junk Food.
That works.
And I bought a ton of it. And so Andrew and I just pigged out on all the vegan junk food. And then we went out and did karaoke. And the next morning I was not good. I was dying. And so he's like, well, do you want to take a bus? And I'm like, not like this. Then we ate at another burger place. So I've had burgers and pizza and garlic bread and nachos and more burgers and French fries. All vegan. Everything was all vegan.
Yeah.
Big, gigantic deli sandwich. My stomach, I was out there, 3 days? Saturday, yeah. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And my stomach is still
recovering.
Messed up. Still recovering, yes.
Yeah. So if you didn't notice, whenever Christina goes on vacation, we don't actually look for museums or zoos or anything like that.
Yeah, no.
She actually finds as many different opportunities for food as possible.
Yes.
And part of that is because of living in Missouri, There is not a whole lot of that dietary advantages.
And donuts. I forgot about the donuts. Well,
I don't think we'd ever forget about the donuts. I know. But you did.
It was funny because Andrew says, he texts me and he says, and of course I got this while I was, I got this after I powered my phone back on, but he said, I'm headed your way. I've got the donuts and I'll be there soon. But more importantly, I've got the donuts. I was like, I just love how, you know, we stopped at multiple donut places the very short amount of time I was there. And I said, thank you so much for knowing how important these donuts are to me. But I think I definitely got my fill after not feeling great. So.
Right, right. Well, and I think that that's where I kind of wanted to take this is, your experience out there was very different than what we have here in the middle of Missouri. And sometimes, right. I mean, that communicates to us based on our diet, but also the way that we raise our children and the way that we approach certain problems. It's just different. It feels different than my friends. It feels different than my neighbors, for sure. It feels somewhat different from where I'm at in my community. And I think that you had a little bit of that experience where all of a sudden you weren't a blue dot in the middle of a sea of red.
Well, and I think that we all had that experience in DC,
right,
last summer. And then I had a little bit of that experience in Portland too. Now, I will say I didn't get to experience Portland as much because I wasn't there as long, but I felt very much not just a dot,
right,
when we were all in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really nice to be able to experience both coasts.
Right, right.
And realize that it is not the same here as it is there and vice versa.
Right. And I think that that's really the kind of thing that a lot of people say is that transplanted wise, right? You might have been raised here. We've born and raised in Missouri, right? We grew up. We are a product of the upbringing of our families that are pretty much set up residence in Missouri for their entire lives. But we definitely feel at points in time like this blue dots or these blue dots in the middle of a red state. But after a while, I got to thinking about what that might mean, like what that actually might mean and communicate to other people as well as other progressives or conservatives or liberals, whatever you want to put in that title, what that communicates and what that means to you. So I want to kind of do my reaction and then I want to unpack it with you as far as your experience and then go from there.
Absolutely.
My reaction. Blue dot in a red state. You may have said it yourself. You may have heard other people say it. You may have even seen it printed on a t-shirt. But what does it actually mean? And what does it communicate to the rest of us? Jess Piper obtained less than 22% of the votes in her district. She has been criticized for not redistributing her wealth, but honestly, she was a blue outlier, offering herself up for another option to voters that have had no option for a generation. Using TikTok entirely on her own, 197,000 donations from small blue dots. But connecting the dots to communicate creates a blue web, but this is only half the battle. I pull out for a second to reference something in zoology. Squid and other mollusks like them have a special type of skin. You might have seen this, these colored pigmented areas on the surface of their bodies. They're called chromatophores. And this is how they work. Chromatophores in squid are connected by muscles. The little pigment that sits inside this bubble, this balloon, if you will, whenever the muscles are relaxed, it contracts. It becomes a pinpoint of color. But when the muscles contract, they pull on that bladder, they pull on that bubble and spread it out, making the color visible. Now, they have iridescence as well, but chromatophores offer us a good and unique example. They offer us a lesson. You see, the web means nothing if the blue dots do not pull on each other. To change the conversation in Missouri, we have to pull on each other to reveal not only the brave candidates that represent, but to actually expose ourselves in a certain respect. Often people are looking directly at 2024. What does this mean as the pendulum swings? But now is not the time to relax. Now is not the time to blame those that spread themselves so thin to cover us. Now is the time to reevaluate what it means when we say blue dot in a red state. Because even this web that we're creating simply connects the conversation. But it's you, the dots pulling each other out of hiding, that changes it.
The real real.
So I specifically mentioned Jess Piper, and during the live show, whenever the candidates were running, we met her, and I think that you actually got to talk to her a little bit.
I didn't get to talk to her as much, but I really liked her speeches that she made. She was very honest and open and real. I think one of the things that really made me immediately like her and respect, you know, her thoughts and what she was running for and standing for, was she said something along the lines of, and you can correct me if you know what I'm talking about, but she said something about, I believe in abortion. I think that you have that right. And she was just very firm about it. It wasn't, you know, I believe in
very unapologetic.
Yes. And I love that word for her. It's great. It's she's unapologetically a badass.
Nice.
And she's really, she's just a cool person.
Right.
So.
And I don't think it's done, right? I mean, definitely not done.
Right.
But the thing is that I think of all three of the candidates that were there at the live show, Spencer Toter and Ray Reed as well. None of that kind of came to fruition for any of them. And
right.
It kind of looks like you saying, wow, like that didn't actually resolve any of the issues. And it feels like you kind of lost a little bit of where you wanted to be. And
definitely.
I kind of step back from that for a second, because I really look at now when we have these people that go up and stand up and really take the initiative and really put themselves out there, like to be an actual candidate, and to have millennials and Gen Z, like all these different wide variety of people that are looking at approaching the problems that our state faces, that the Heartland faces, and how the country actually reflects part of that. And it's a lot of bravery, especially at the very end, whenever you're going up against something that you haven't had a Democratic candidate even on the ballot for a very, like, she said, this is it. Like, I'm going to do it.
Right.
But I kind of, like, think about the t-shirts, right? As far as shout out to, you know, Cornfed Threads, right? That kind of like relationship.
Yeah.
Like, but we put that onto shirts, and we put certain things onto shirts, and we kind of wear it, right? But these people go out and put their face on it, and I was talking about Graham Metaphors, and they kind of spread themselves thin to have an umbrella to encompass all of this and to have us all like stand underneath them. But I really think about what it means to be that pinpoint, to define yourself as a dot. Like, and how isolationist that is. Like, how lonely that feels, but you're kind of like, by definition, making yourself into the pinpoint by not stretching yourself.
Well,
out.
I just looked online before work or something like that this morning, and I wanted to know about all of the elections in Missouri and all that. And I can't even remember what I searched, but immediately it pops up where the entire state is red.
Right.
Except for Columbia is blue. And I think, is it Kansas City?
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City is blue. And maybe St. Louis?
Yep, St. Okay. Louis. Yeah.
That's... So it was just, it was very much just a boop, boop, boop. And right. then the rest is just boom, covered in red. So.
Yeah. And I think that that dot kind of comes from that aspect. But I really kind of think it's like for my story, right? Initially, whenever I was actually worried about politics in a certain respect, I was a little bit withdrawn because I was a little bit afraid for my job, right? As far as being in the classroom, being a teacher, I didn't want to voice my personal political opinion because, one, it felt very inappropriate for that standpoint, but to really advocate in any other way, it's kind of putting yourself out there to be like, if anybody gets a hold of that, you become marked as that. Right. I mean, that's you're pushing an agenda.
Right.
Onto these, you're indoctrinating kids and all of these other things just because you have that approach. And then after that, I felt like I kind of locked myself in that world because it was distance and it was a very rural district and I was lonely. Right. I felt lonely. And then a funny thing happened is that I started to feel unique. Like really, really unique. Like I felt like I am the only one thinking this way. Like I'm all alone.
How long did that take?
I'm all special. Like and it's kind of like grew this ego in me. How long did it take? A while to be able to like kind of come to that ridiculous conclusion almost. Anyway. But, I mean, you feel the same way at some points in time. Like, you mentioned vegan. We don't have a lot of vegan friends.
Right.
It's a very unique situation for us. And a lot of times when we voice it, it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, they have to mention it. Like, they'll let you know, you know, that this is what it is. But really, it's part of our culture for us. But that is, like, alone. Right? That is a lonely thing. So we feel like it makes us special and unique. But right. At the same time, there's plenty of other individuals doing things with their diet that are just slightly different. But it doesn't mean that we're like so alone.
You know, right.
We're just so alone that we say we are. But it's vain. Like it's ego driven. What do you think? I mean, maybe I'm just kind of being too harsh on pointing out that we're making ourselves pinpoints to make ourselves into islands.
Well, I don't think it's we're just saying that you and me are the only islands in this whole sea or ocean. No, I think it's I think you're right. There aren't many people like, I mean, we're unique and special just like everybody else, you know?
Right, right.
So, but I don't think that we're not the only vegans here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that looking at the map and seeing all the red and then seeing the three dots of blue, it's not just you, me, and then one other person. It's a whole, is it swath? Is that how you say
it? Sure, yeah, that works.
Swath? I don't like that. Let me try that again. I don't know. We'll pick a different word. But a whole crap load. There we go. That's a technical term.
That's good.
Of people who do... They might not have the same, all of the same beliefs as us, but they are also, I guess, blue thinkers. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Blue thinkers.
It's kind of like a purity type of thing that's been discussed. You know what I mean? If you don't look exactly identical to what I am, right, then you're something different.
This is just a reminder that The Delta is a member of the Heartland Pod family of podcasts. Join us every other Wednesday as we grow this show into a reflection of our lives where family, school, life, science, and politics all converge. Check out some of our other shows, including the Heartland Pod, The Flyover View, High Country, and Let's Have a Chat. Also, you can check out some of our collection of family projects on glassroomhive.com, like our family YouTube channel called Stink Finks, Nicholas's 2-minute lectures on his Hourglass Science channel, and our published books. Whether it be our children's book, Dharma and Eldon and the Sandwich, or our new adult fiction like the Murray series. Another way to be transparent about progressive lives in the Midwest, glassroomhive.com. Now back to our show.
So another thing that I was thinking about also is being parents, right? Our parenting style is pretty different in our area than what the other people kind of subscribe to, right?
I would absolutely agree with that.
And how that translates to our family, right? How that translates to our kids and kind of what this isolation has done. Like COVID made it very, very obvious a while ago, right? And as we break into actually having friends again, as that kind of those walls kind of break down, we start
forgot what it was like,
right? And we start reaching out. Like, I think that our kids have a different opinion about what it means to be isolated because they're not thinking about politics. But the more and more that you and I engage with it, and the stronger it becomes. Like, I'm wondering, like, what kind of effect do you think that's going to have? Like, how do you feel about the way that they're being brought up in a political atmosphere that's way more political than we grew up in?
I'd like to think that we have talked to our kids more about politics. I mean, I can honestly say my parents never talked to me about politics. Right. Ever.
Right.
We didn't really have the deeper conversations growing up. I don't know if you guys did, but we did not. We didn't really. I mean, I guess all the taboo topics, we didn't talk about those at my house.
Right. Right.
So I think that our kids have a better understanding of things. I mean, do you remember the thing that you did with Bryson about when Bernie Sanders was running and the Smarties?
Yeah.
And how you kept promising him, no, I'll give you some of my candy. You give me a high five and I'll give you some of this candy. And then he was very young. But the point is, like, we still talk about this with our kids, even at a young age. And so he gives you this high five and he's super excited. And then you take his candy.
Yeah, I took the candy.
You know how pissed he got?
Yeah, I took the candy and I gave it to you because you're my friend.
Right, right. And he was super into it. He was like, this is so funny. Dad's so funny. This is cool. I mean, I don't remember how old he was. 4 or 5, maybe.
Right.
And
I'm like, that's capitalism,
the minute
buddy.
You gave it to me, he was like, oh, hell no. Like, what are you doing? And he just gave you this look of, okay, this isn't funny anymore.
It's not fair.
What? Yeah. Yes, that's not fair. And so I feel like Evangelina was there too. Like, she was part of the whole conversation. But, I mean, she was a little bit younger, but she was enjoying it too. And I mean, right. It wasn't her candy we took away, so who cares, right?
But I think of it as, yeah, we've had a lot of those kind of conversations that my family never had. Like, we never discussed openly about what it was. And it was almost like this, don't discuss it. Like, we don't talk about politics and religion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. That, you're silent about that. Like, that's not table conversation. You can talk about anything else, but that's kind of what we're leaning into a lot. Like, that's the conversations that we have to change to not avoid these difficult issues, but to engage these difficult issues and look at our children and say, listen, you're going to have to talk about this. Like, you're going to have to formulate opinions that are your own about these issues when it's appropriate, right? Whenever you actually have the opportunity to really rationalize and think through it, we want you to do that. We want you to make up an argument. We want you to own it. And a lot of people ask, like, well, you know, are you going to let your kids be non-vegan when they grow up? Are you going to make sure that they have an opportunity to eat meat? And I kind of step back and forth on them, like, well, I'm not going to provide it, right?
Right.
Whenever they're children. But I would look at it from the standpoint, like, that's their decisions that they're going to make and have to live with. But I want them to understand our justifications for why we raised them that way. But I want to have that conversation when it's appropriate, even. It's not to avoid it. And that changes the generations that we see now. Like, it's not taboo.
Right. And it's very, I mean, I used to make the joke all the time, you know, that, man, I wonder if my parents ever made the joke about farting in front of each other. You know, I mean, because I know that.
Not the direction I thought you were going to go. No, that, by the way.
Well, you talk about taboo things. I think, man, the things that you and I talk about.
Right.
I mean, just ridiculous stuff like, you know, potty humor and all that stuff. I'm like, there's no way my parents ever, ever talked like that.
Right.
There's no way that they ever conversed about things like that.
Right.
And so I think it allows our kids to realize that there are no topics that are off limits. And I think that's extremely important.
Right.
For them.
Right.
And, I mean, for us too, because it is an evolving world. Like right. How I use that science term for
I
you.
I like that. Yeah, that's good.
Just for you, baby. I think it's an evolving world. And I think that we, even though we're getting older too, we can still learn to evolve
right.
with it and right. with our children and learn with our children. So
yeah, that's good. I think of it as like we're kind of going back and forth with them and we're figuring out parenting
because
like it's legit hard to teach kids morals and ethics, especially when you're not relying on authoritative like threats. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like, I'm going to take away your Christmas presents or your solstice presents because at the very end of the day, I just want you to look at the elf on the shelf and be scared. Like, I would just
right,
want you to, like,
right.
do your job so Santa comes,
right.
brings you gifts, and then you have what it... I mean, that's coming
right.
up.
Right, let's
but we're
scare you. Just
that.
So you know, if God isn't watching and then Santa isn't watching, we still have an elf to watch you too. You're like, holy crap, how many people are just watching me?
Right, right. And we are approaching it from a different context, but that makes it so hard. But that starts with conversations. It's not controlling the conversation.
I think there's a lot more books out there on religion and on parenting that has to do with things that we don't subscribe to.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to find that little niche of books at the library that talk about how we would want to parent.
Right. Right.
So it's very difficult.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if anybody knows this, but parenting is hard.
Right. Especially parents don't know that.
Right.
Like parents currently, I don't know, we're alone in that.
We are alone
thinking that parenting is hard.
Right. Every other parent just knows how easy it is for them.
Yeah, I think it is easy for them. I think I look at all the posts and I'm like, man, it must be so
there
easy
are no
to have
negative,
your house.
There are no negative comments about parenting anywhere ever except from us.
Yeah. And I think that that's really what it comes down to being.
Yes.
Like, I think that's the whole takeaway message is that there's so much in common to start those conversations.
Yes.
But the thing is that we're looking out for the future and we have to engage each other in the difficult conversations so that we can talk to what the small little differences between these shades of blue, right? So that they don't just look like isolated events.
Yes.
Because if we treat ourselves in this way that we're special because we're vegan or special because we have a different belief structure or we're special in these different ways, our kids are going to grow up feeling so alone and so isolated still that they're not going to know how to start those conversations because some people still don't want to have them. But you know who wants to have them? We do. Our friends do.
Right,
other
right.
people that are engaged with this do. And those are the people that I want them to eventually engage with.
Right. But we are still special, right?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
The Delta is a Mid-Map Media production. You can check us out at heartlandpod.com or follow us on Twitter at @TheHeartlandPod. Please also consider signing up for our Patreon so that you can get exclusive merchandise as well as additional shows. And we'll talk again another time.